in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
I want to talk a little bit more about Mecole Hardman. We talked about him a little bit with Adam Schefter in the first hour of the show. If you missed any of that, of course, you can always hear our conversations wherever you get your podcasts. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast, Apple, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand. Alex Stroh put out a good video yesterday in the moments after the announcement of the signing, guys. And his basic takeaway was, it's a move. And I think that sort of sums up how I feel about it. Because I don't expect Mecole Hardman to step into a wide receiver one position for the Green Bay Packers. He's never really been that guy. I do think that when I was checking his numbers out last night, though, he has had an impact in the punt return game in addition to, you know, kick return. I know that a lot of people are thinking he's going to make most of his contributions as a kick returner. But could this also be, guys, to take Jaden Reed off of punt returns? Could this also be to alleviate, you know, and put some of your players just back in the roles that they do well? The reason I bring this up, Gabe, and I'll start with you, is because yesterday Chewy and I were talking about how the Green Bay Packers don't have a lot of guys who are exceptional at their positions, like exceptional top-tier talent. They have a few, but not a lot. And I can't help but wonder if this is a way of getting some of these guys away from that versatility title. You know, Jaden Reed is a receiver, but he's also a punt returner. And Keyshawn Nixon is a cornerback, but he's also a kick returner. Is this a way to sort of get guys just in a singular lane, Gabe?
Yeah, and you see this as, you know, If you're a rookie, you kind of grow out of that. The Packers have had a lot of guys. I know, Chew, like, Free was a punt returner.
Yeah.
Antonio Freeman was a punt returner when he came in as a rookie. But then as he became more important to the offense, they took him off a punt return. And that's just kind of the natural evolution of things there. It's the same thing with Keyshawn Nixon. Like, they initially signed him to be a kick returner, and he's a depth piece at corner, and they wanted him for special teams. But as he's become more important and better defensively, okay, we want to take you off of that, and we want to have somebody dedicated to that role. That's all I see Mecole Hardman being, by the way. That's it.
Yeah,
he had 90 yards, Chewy. 90 yards receiving. That's it. For the entire season last year.
And based upon the money we believe he got, which probably isn't much more than minimum, then it was a smart move. I mean, I remember, because I was a long snapper, and we had Keith, so it was me and Keith, so I was splitting time with him, and I was a long snapper for Super Bowl 31 that year. Keith leaves, decides to retire. Then they bring in Rob Davis, and I no longer had to do it because I was going to more of a full-time role. So I understand the move. I think, yeah, like you said, I think this is more about him being number one returner as opposed to number one receiver.
Do we want Keyshawn Nixon to be cornerback number one? We made a lot of jokes at his expense when he was sort of declaring himself CB1 before we knew how the Jair thing was going to shake out. Because I got to be honest, guys, I guess I was hoping that they would upgrade at that position. I'm not saying they can go out and do what the Eagles did last year, which is draft a guy in Cooper DeJean who steps out there and has an immediate impact as a defensive back. But I kind of am hoping that they can still upgrade the position in the draft and that they can get somebody who is good enough to unseed Keyshawn Nixon. Is that fair or unfair, Gabe?
Do they need one? Do they need a top of the line corner? Because the defense was fine for the most part without Jair Alexander last year,
especially at the end of the year, right? We were talking about how the defense was the unit that we thought, you know, had made significant strides, and the offense was sort of underwhelming.
I think having that number one corner, of course, yes, you would love to have one. But I think they showed without Jair Alexander last year, they were just fine. Keyshawn Nixon held up good. They go out and they get Nate Hobbs. So they upgrade it a little bit, not to the point of, oh, here's a star player that is going to be part of the backbone of our defense. But I think that the defense showed that they can be just fine and still be an upper echelon type of defense without having a legitimate cornerback number one.
But is just fine going to get him to a Super Bowl? No. The problem is the defensively. The D line is meh, which makes the defensive back's jobs more difficult. So if they went out and got someone that could at least create some pressure, it makes their job easier. You know, that's a tough thing.
I also think that too many teams have a wide receiver one. I know the Packers don't, and maybe we're pushing it through that prism, but too many teams, in particular in the NFC, and even more specific in the NFC North, have a guy that you need to have a top-tier corner on.
Yeah.
I mean, but the Packers aren't playing a ton of man-to-man anyway. Like, I don't know how much that cornerback one would be shadowing a wide receiver one, a Justin Jefferson and Amon-Ra St. Brown, a DJ Moore in the division. They're playing a lot of zone coverage anyway, so I don't think that they would necessarily need that guy to be shadowing and following somebody around. I look, would I love to have somebody of that level? Absolutely. We've had the discussion how many times of how the Packers don't have enough stars. But if they're making an impact draft decision in the first and second round, and you're expecting, you know, guys to step up the way that Cooper DeJean and now I'm blanking on the other cornerback that the Eagles drafted last year.
Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah, Quinyon Mitchell. So those guys were great for the Eagles, but I would much rather have them get an impact defensive lineman or get an impact wide receiver in those first two rounds than cornerback, because the defensive backfield showed that they could hold up and be just fine without a Jaire Alexander type.
I would just like a player they draft to be good enough to get the fifth-year option. When's the last time they gave the fifth-year option to someone that was decent? Am I right? I mean, who was the last first-round pick that they gave the fifth? Did they give it
Darnell
to
Savage?
Savage, which turned out to be the wrong move, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Clinton Dix, what'd they do with him? That's the problem, Jen. It's great drafting a defensive back in the first round, but you can't miss.
You can't miss if you draft a defensive lineman in the first round.
Yeah, no, I agree.
No, they can't miss in the first round this year, period. Like, because the free agents market did not turn out the way that they were hoping, that all the fans were hoping. Yes, they got a couple of starters, but to get like high-end impact players, you cannot miss on your first and second round picks this year.
Don't they just do it.
If you want to take those steps forward, cannot miss this year.
Don't they need one more corner though, Gabe?
For depth.
Yeah, for depth. Which is always...
I mean, and I'm sure they'll draft one, like maybe in the third or fourth round.
Okay.
Reaction is rolling in on the Carbless talk and text line. Adam in the 414 says, getting a pass rusher would definitely help all of the DBs. And yes, we agree with that. If you could get pressure up front, obviously it makes their life a lot easier. And Trent weighing in and says, you don't need an exceptional DB1. Build in the trenches. Exceptional defensive line and defensive end is more important for pressure and getting quarterbacks off rhythm. Draft defensive line until Goody is blue in the face. And I do think that we all believe that that's the direction they will likely go now, right? We believe that they will, number one, with a bullet, be attacking the defensive line.
Yeah, I just have a
I don't know if that happens in the first round.
Yeah, I have a gut feeling, Gabe, they're going to draft an interior because I believe that this is Kenny Clark's last year. And Joshy, do we know the depth of defensive line in this draft?
One of the deepest positions.
So?
And also, Goody, John Eric Sullivan, and another player in the scouting department, another guy in the scouting department, were at Oregon's pro day yesterday. They have Derek Harmon, who is likely to be available at the 23rd overall pick.
Yeah, I just have a gut feeling they're going to go there, interior D-line, and then hit a receiver in the second round. That's what my gut is telling me. My gut is big, so it knows.
Yeah, bigger this year than it was last year. Sorry about it, bud.
What a weird addition to that sentence.
I want to ask you a question, Jen, just totally off the rails.
All right.
Oh, boy.
I'm afraid of getting gobbler neck, so I've been using this cream that they swear works. It doesn't work.
No,
it's garbage.
It's fake. There's no gobbler cream, bud.
There isn't?
No. You can do exercises. There are exercises that you can do. I could show you some of those when we're not on the YouTube stream.
Imagine chewing.
Do I want to know these exercises?
The gym, doing neck exercises. Yeah.
Well, one of them I can show you right now. You look up at the ceiling. And you kiss the ceiling. So look up at the ceiling. Now kiss. Now do it again. Do you feel it?
Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it hurts, but it should start to strengthen the thing that you're worried about on the neck.
Okay.
I got other ones too, but that's the only one I can think of.
I'll work
top
on that
head.
One.
Yeah, but no, I don't think there's a cream for the gobbler.
So that stuff is all fake? How can they sell it if it's fake?
Because there's suckers like you that buy it.
Yeah, much like most supplements and creams and salves, they're mostly bogus.
Yeah. You can be quiet now if you want.
I do want to ask you guys a question.
Are you familiar with the term snake oil salesman?
Yeah, I never knew what it meant.
then buy your cream, baby.
Okay, we can go back to what we were talking.
Well, I did want to ask you is this, and we'll take a break so you guys can think about it during the break. Have the Packers had a successful offseason so far? So far, Gabe, you just sort of referenced, there has been some frustration, some disappointment from some of the fans, although I do see the conversations taking place on social media where people push back on that pretty mightily. Have the Packers had a successful offseason so far? Recognizing that the draft is still a month away, that they certainly will build through the draft and then develop those players, do you feel like it has been successful so far? We'll dive into that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Excited about a new partner on the show. You've heard everybody across ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Wisconsin talk about our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And now we get to talk about them right here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as well. We talk a lot about the unprecedented quality and service you get from Pella. But talking to the people who work there, you can tell how much they genuinely love what they do. Pella's team is with you from start to finish, which means they will not disappear. They're not going to disappear on you right after the sale. And right now, take advantage of windows as low as $22 per month and doors as low as $89 per month. My wife and I, looking for a new front door, may have to take advantage of this deal, but certain restrictions do apply. It does end 3/31/2025. Get started today with our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin at PellaWI.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's a lot of sodas now that are prebiotic sodas as well.
They don't work. They're called poop.
What? No,
they're really called poop, I think. You buy them on Amazon.
I thought you were going to stop talking.
You got a lot of brust in you. You know that?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Over the last handful of days, 108 holes. So my swing, I feel like I'm ready to go whenever that weather turns back in Wisconsin. But I know I just heard Debbie talking about snow. To make sure your golf game is ready for when we're ready to play outside, you need to check out X Golf. Two locations. In Milwaukee, Brookfield and Mequon, XGolf. Brookfield.com, XGolf, Mequon.com are the websites that you can check out. And the state-of-the-art indoor golf simulators that XGolf has are fantastic. Maybe you want to make some swing changes. Make sure that swing's ready to go. Get some lessons with my guy, Mike Meisen, at XGolf in Brookfield. But what's also great about these locations with XGolf is the great food and drink menus that they have. Specials going on a lot of times Fridays and Saturday nights. So make sure you check them out and book your tee time today at XGolfBrookfield.com and XGolfMequon.com.
Packers offseason been a success so far? I know there are positions that a lot of people wanted to see them address. They have not yet addressed. I think they will probably address them because to not address them would be negligence. But just to recap some of the things that have happened this offseason, Isaiah McDuffie was re-signed on March 3rd. Brandon McManus, which Gabe was lauding when it happened on March 5th, re-signed. A.J. Dillon signed with the Eagles. Eric Stokes signed with the Raiders. T.J. Slayton signed with the Bengals. The Packers signed cornerback Nate Hobbs on March 13th. Josh Myers went to the Jets. Eric Wilson went to the Vikings. Corey Ballantyne went to the Colts. And guard Aaron Banks signed with the Green Bay Packers. Yesterday, of course, the latest of those moves with Mecole Hardman being added to the Green Bay Packers as a returner and a receiver. All of those things that I mentioned, the guys who have left and the guys who have been added. Chew, does that feel like a success to you so far?
Well, my definition of success is to put yourself in a really good spot to make it or win the Super Bowl. In my eyes, they have not done that. I think they can do what they did last year. I mean, obviously, we have to wait on the draft, but I mean, I could tell you right now, I'm predicting 11-6, maybe win a playoff game and then lose the next one. I would think they're one and done. That's what.
Not every offseason could be like last year where you had two stars, where you are adding Pro Bowl and All Pro players. Because this free agent class just doesn't have that. Like going off of the list that Jen just rattled off, like this is to me like a pass fail course. And I don't think you can say that they failed the offseason. I don't think the offseason's been a failure, right? Like, I think they've passed. I don't think it's an A+, but I think they've passed this offseason because all those big splash moves we thought, heck, even the Bengals are trying to figure out a way to keep Trey Hendrickson after telling him that he could seek a trade, and now they want to be able to keep him. So all the big splash moves that we were hoping for basically were non-existent. They add two starters through free agency. They re-sign Brandon McManus, so they don't have to go through that headache. Like, this is, I mean, again, is it A+ like it was last year? No, but it's not a failure. So I think they're passing this offseason.
I think most of it has been fine. We talked about Mecole Hardman. It's fine. I don't know that he will be a huge impact player. Maybe he will, especially in the return game. Maybe he gives them an advantage there, gives them good field position. But everything else to me has just been fine. And I know that, and I said this to Chewy earlier this week, Gabe, when you weren't on the show, I recognize that my perception has been skewed by last season's blockbusters. I recognize that we were out of our minds excited when they signed the two guys that they signed in McKinney and Josh Jacobs. Like, that was huge. And I think what I did was I assumed that Goody sort of recognized that he needed to use free agency like that in order to get the team closer to winning a championship. And I thought that it would be more of a rule than the exception. This season has shown me that maybe that was the exception to how Goody wants to build the team. But I think what's frustrating for me, and I have said this before, so please, I apologize for the redundancy, other teams are making moves. Other teams that the Packers are going to be competing with, you know, neck and neck, head to head, regularly, are adding through free agency. Is it that Goody believes he is going to draft so much better than those guys, than the Lions, than the Vikings, and some of the other teams in the NFC, that he'll be able to close that gap and make up the ground? Because we saw the results last year, Gabe. The Packers are not on the same level as some of these teams, the Lions, the Eagles, even though they played the Eagles real tough in the postseason. They're not on the same level from a talent standpoint. So where do you think Goody feels he's going to make up that gap?
Well, I think that the youth continuing to improve is where he thinks he's going to do that, and they have to nail their early picks. But at the same time, like, I don't look at the Bears as being significantly better because they added a couple of offensive linemen.
No,
like,
but they did address they at least addressed a glaring need, right? They looked at their board and said, man, we stink at this position. And then they threw all of the resources that they could during free agency at that position. I'm not saying it's going to work out because we've talked about buffoon franchises and people who make bad decisions repeatedly. But I'm saying at least they addressed, they knew what their deficiencies were.
Well, so did the Packers.
And they said they were going to address it, and they did.
Yeah, but I look at
I think the Packers did too.
I look at the most important positions on the field, and they lack A players. They just do. I mean, Jordan Love, 100%. A player. Jordan Love, A player. Got to play like it. Okay? D-line, Rashawn Gary. Do you have faith in him playing like an A player? No. Do you have Kenny Clark, faith in him playing like an A player? No. Receivers, they don't have an A. They don't have an A. They don't have an A. Now, the tight end, if you want to lump them into that group, Tucker Kraft. And I don't think it's any doing of his, but he's got to elevate to an A, which means getting him the ball more. And then the defensive back, that's how my ranking works, defensive backfield. And I'm not including safeties because safeties are down the line. Your corners, do they have A players? No. Do they have nice players? Yeah, they do. But it's not enough to get them over the hump, you know, which is fine. The whole problem with me is I'm on a different timeline than Goody. I don't think Goody feels any pressure, you know? I really don't think he does at all. I don't think he feels his job's in danger at all. But, I mean, there comes a time.
But why should it be, though? For any, because I know this is a
I'm not
two,
good with
11-6
and losing in the first
base.
Round of the playoffs. That's all.
I don't think
that's all they do.
I don't think they are either.
Yeah, but he's comfortable.
I don't think they are either.
He's comfortable. I think people shine
because
sometimes
still,
when they feel uncomfortable, you know?
But they're still going through the process. Like, I mean, again, like, you want to talk about buffoon franchises. Like, the Bears have been chasing ever since they fired Lovie Smith after he won double-digit games. And this, they got, we got to do better. They booted him, and they've been chasing ever since, right?
Well,
like, they decided to turn over a regime for no reason. And, I mean, again, they're still going through this rebuild process, Chew. Like, there's still a young team. There's still growth that has to happen within that. Like, I don't think you fire someone. Now, again, like, if we get you know, if they don't make the playoffs next year, yeah, sure, that seat's going to be hot. But if Jordan Love doesn't improve next year, that seat for him and LaFleur might start heating up a little bit. But they've had relative success here, and I think they're going to be given every opportunity to continue to build on that.
So you're okay with this just going as it goes here, you know? Did you hear what I said last week?
Tell me what you want them to do.
Win a damn Super Bowl! It's been eight years for this offseason. You know?
Specifically this offseason, what should they have done that they did not do?
Go out and get someone high-powered. You got to pay someone $40 million or $35 million. You can't be stuck in this, pay a guy $55 million, well, that's it, and then get a bunch of 20s. Because that's all they do.
Who out there? Who could they have gotten?
You don't know, Gabe. You don't know what happens behind the scenes. Two first-round picks for Myles Garrett. I don't know what that is. All I know is he does not use every tool he has that's afforded to him. That is trade. Go look and see what Ron Wolf did when there was a hole and how quickly he filled it via a trade. You know? This whole draft and development is garbage.
But that's a two-way street.
I know, but Gabe, drafts and develop, you chase your tail. You're going to hit some guys, and you're going to miss. You have to supplement the roster with the tools that you have. He doesn't do that.
I mean, again, they went out in free agency. They added two guys this offseason, added two guys the previous offseason.
And how do you feel about that?
What
are you picking the team to do next year?
I don't know. I got to see the schedule.
Are they a Super Bowl team? Would you say
I'll tell you this right now, Chewy. Whether or not they're a Super Bowl team, and I keep coming back to this, depends upon one thing. How much better is Jordan Love going to be?
But Gabe, you've also
Jordan
said on
Love
this program,
ascends up
but you've
the
also
list.
Said that they should have pursued Devontae Adams, or they should have at least called Devontae Adams. Like, so you admit that was an error, that they messed up by not doing
that.
That
is the one error.
Gabe, I
That's
have no
one error
problem.
I think the Packers have made this offseason is not reaching out to Devontae Adams because he is the only one who could have been a one number one. He's still a star. He's still an A player. That is the biggest mistake that they made this offseason. But other than that, like there hasn't really been any other big stars necessarily available to the Packers this offseason.
Everyone's for sale. Everyone is for sale. In this world, everything is for sale. I can tell you that. But Gabe, you know what? I'm fine with Aldi. You know what? I'm fine with Aldi getting the potato, getting maybe the vegetable, but I'm going to Bunzel's to get my steak. Okay? I ain't get my steak at Aldi. I'm going to Bunzel's to get it, and sometimes you got to overpay because it's gosh darn good. Right? That's all I'm saying.
I appreciate you catching yourself there. I really do.
I know that.
So does Josh, I'm sure.
That was
close.
I love God, too. Such a wonderful man or woman. I mean,
famously, your team Jesus.
Jen. Pardon? I am.
Famously, your team Jesus.
Did you hear what I said last week, though, about Ed Policy? And I guess most people didn't have a problem with it. I said Ed Policy should go in there and say, you got 3 years. Gabe, is 3 years with the roster that they have right now long enough for our fans to deserve a Super Bowl? And I'll tell you why. Because in 92, our roster stunk. It was terrible. And Ron did it in 4. Okay. This roster is much better than what we had in 92, and Ron did it in 4. I don't see a problem with going to Goody and saying, you got 3 years, man. With what you got right now, yeah, there are some things. You got 3 years to get it done.
Well, but I don't think you fire him if he doesn't win. I mean, because there's a lot of things that depend, right? Like in 2020, Goody put together a good enough roster to win a Super Bowl.
I totally agree.
The team on the field choked. Team on the field choked,
totally
right?
Totally agree with you.
So, like, that's not on Goody.
No, and you know, I said so, that. So I said it yesterday.
You have 3 years. So you have 3 years to win a Super Bowl, or you have 3 years to have a Super Bowl caliber roster?
3 years to make. That's fair. Yes, a Super Bowl caliber roster.
But we all recognize that it's not there right now. We all recognize that now, on this date, they are not a Super Bowl caliber roster. Because again, we are seeing around the league the disparity between what those teams have done and what the Packers have done. So yes, I do think, and this is where I get jammed up when I like read social media and I see people reacting to things. Like, It is okay to feel like your team needs to do more. Gabe, it is also okay to look at the landscape and go, but what more did you want them to do, right? And then feel like their hands were a little bit tied. But you yourself said you need a wide receiver one. Devontae played in the system. He's, you know, he's got some, you know, he's got some still left in the tank. He could have been a guy who improves this roster, and you didn't even pick up the phone, right? So right there, that means that Goody's not infallible. That means that Goody makes mistakes. And then that opens you up to, well, I want to trust that everything he has done is the right move for the Packers. But I see over here this one thing, this glaring thing that I don't agree with. So that to me things makes me think like there may be other things that he's doing the best he can, but I'm allowed to disagree with those moves as well.
Yeah, but I think overall you still have to have faith in Goody. Like, I think you can argue that, you know, Andy Reid, who is the greatest active coach in the NFL today, made mistakes in a Super Bowl. Right, like he. But overall, you're gonna overall you're gonna trust the direction that he's going. Like right now, overall, I still trust Goody. Yes, he made that mistake. You can point out that mistake and say, "Hey, that was not good." You know, just like in the past when the Packers were close to getting Randy Moss or close to getting Tony Gonzalez, and they didn't push those deals over the finish line. Like you can be upset with that, but then still go, "Okay, I'm still trusting him." In the grander scheme of things,
I would take Andy Reid, the GM, over Goody any day of the week.
Well, and that has relevancy
right now. Well, that's because he also has Andy Reid, the coach.
But that has relevancy right now, too, doesn't it, with the Mecole Hardman thing?
Yeah. But Andy dumped him twice. I'm like, all right. He must. I trust Andy Reid. I trust Ron Wolf. I trust the way they did it. I guarantee if you went to Ron Wolf, hey, could you get these guys to a Super Bowl in 3 years with the roster you got right now? He'd be like, yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, but he also, like, Ron made the gutsiest move in franchise history. Made the gutsiest move in franchise history. Sure. And it paid off. Like, when you have a three-time MVP behind center, yeah. Turns out, everything else makes sense.
But just look at the moves he made, Gabe, to supplement where the roster... He brought in Mike Pryor, right? Free agency. Signed Mike Pryor and immediately went, he ain't good enough. He's a backup. So what did he do? He made a trade to get Eugene Robinson that was on the backside of his career, but he's still a hell of a player, and he got the most out of him. You know?
But also, they're not there yet,
I'm frustrated like a lot of the fans.
They brought in Eugene. They brought in Eugene when you guys were knocking on the door. Correct. And that kind of helped you put over the top. Yep. They're not knocking on the door yet.
Correct, but in 3 years, it should be the doors open. Walk through it.
But I thought, Gabe, they would be knocking on the door here. I thought you thought that with the rebuild 2 years ago, that this was the year where all of these pieces should have sort of matured to the point of being a Super Bowl caliber team.
Thought the receivers were going to be better. They're not. Christian Watson's hurt. Doesn't help. Receiver class stinks as a free agent class outside of Devontae. It's just not very good. I mean, if you want Stephon Diggs, he's still out there. You want Amari Cooper still out there. He's not necessarily going to really help you at this point. Like, and a lot of it comes down to that. Like, they just didn't have their playmakers develop in 2024 the way that I thought they would, and most of them have regressed.
But so my question Jayden to you Reed. Is this. My question to you is this then. Doesn't a stellar GM, doesn't a top-tier GM have a, in case of emergency, break glass option? Doesn't a stellar GM recognize that not everything is going to hit the way that he expects it to? And if it doesn't, we still got that Meat Lover's Pizza in the trunk.
But if there aren't any good options out there, again, the Devontae thing is the tough part. Devontae, and I will continue to criticize that. Not even reaching out. But there's nobody else that's worth bringing in.
Rank the division.
And I think if you get a number one receiver, the rest of these pieces make sense, by the way.
Gabe, rank the division right now going into next year.
Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago.
You're crazy. Why you say Minnesota worked on
because
like
Minnesota
a
doesn't have a quarterback right now, Chewy.
We don't know who the quarterback
for Minnesota is. And that turns out that's a huge thing. Quarterback in this league is everything.
Yeah, but
if I don't know who their quarterback is, and their rookie who we haven't seen play a single snap in the NFL had a second procedure on his knee.
What if Sam Darnold was back with the Vikings? How would you rank the division?
Then the Vikings would be ahead of the Packers.
Then why is it taking so long for us to win a Super Bowl when Minnesota was supposed to stink last year, finished last in the division, and now we have them ranked second with an average quarterback? I'm out.
No, he really is out. In case you weren't sure what that sound
you think
was,
you just had to go to the bathroom?
No, he recognized that we were 5 minutes over time on this section and was like, hey.
No, he has no idea what time it is. He just had
overtime.
To pee.
We will take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of good conversation, though. And again, this is kind of the situation that Packers fans find themselves in. I see it all every single day, guys. I see your comments. I see the conversations. There's a human nature thing that is happening here where you know what you're seeing with your eyeballs, but you also want to trust in the GM. Because the GM who is manning this thing, who is running this thing, is the same guy who brought you those two superstars last year. So you want to give him the benefit of the doubt. But you're looking around the league going, man, everybody else is making moves. Everybody else is attacking the things that they need, their deficiencies. Packers still have a major deficiency on the defensive line. Didn't attack it in free agency. Are going to have to rely on the draft to do that. And that's a crapshoot. And that's a gamble. Joshy, you want to tell me something?
If you like money the same way I like money, I want to tell you about Wanna Parlay. That's W-A-N-N-A. It's tournament time. And the new daily sports app, Wanna Parlay, has the absolute largest payouts on parlays that you can find. I downloaded the Wanna Parlay app on my phone, and it is so much fun. Just yesterday, I won a parlay betting on UNC -4.5. Today, I'm looking at Texas +3.5 in the play-in games. I refuse to call them the first round, but they are the play-in games. It's just $2. For a shot at taking home a large cash prize. It's a blast and so simple to use. There are new basketball, hockey, baseball, and combat sports contests every single week. And again, the best part, it's only $2 to enter a parlay into a contest. Plus, there's always free-to-play games as well. Here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app, click around, and if you decide to upload money to play and get into the action, use promo code JGC. That's code JGC for a 100% deposit match up to $250. Put in $20, they give you $20. Put in $100, they give you $100. How about that? So download the Wanna Parlay app, use promo code JGC, and let's play the world's richest parlay today. Code JGC. Must be 18 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I just figured if I got the yellow ones from Mexico, I could slip those in without her. Did you know the Viagra in Mexico is yellow?
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Wait, could you just paint it? You just drop it in a little food coloring?
You probably could, like an egg? To try
that. Easter has a new meaning in the Chamorro household.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We all agree here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy that Ben Bruss made a mistake. He erred. Now, where the error was, I guess that is open to interpretation. He either erred by telling Joshy he wasn't invited to the wedding in front of a partner at a partner meeting, or he erred by not inviting Joshy at all. If you missed that conversation, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcasts. But is it as big an error as a top flight Bulgarian soccer team made when they announced that the moment of silence they had held for a former player who they thought had passed away, well, was in error. The gentleman that they thought had passed away was still alive, to quote the Princess Bride.
Tough.
You're right, Gabe. That is a tough spot to be in, man. We held a moment of silence for a former player who we thought had died, only to learn that he is still alive. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Why did they?
The teams are the ones we're supposed to be able to trust. Like, when they get this information and put it out, right? Like, we've seen this before with athletes who have passed, and we're like, oh, maybe TMZ's got it wrong. And then you see the official press release, and you're like, oh, man. And then they do this. But then they send out a press release an hour after the moan of silence. Hey, just kidding. He's actually still alive.
Well, and I do love the inclusion, Chew, that said, we wish him many more years of good health and to enjoy the success of the team.
That's a good recovery. Why did they think he died? They have no idea.
The best I can tell. So this former player is 78 years old. He was out of town. I don't know if he was vacationing, but the best I could tell, he was out of town. And I don't know if they just couldn't get a hold of him and just assumed he was dead. I don't know. But from by all accounts, he was out of town. And then eventually they found out he was dead. My guess is because somebody had called or texted him like, hey, I was at the can. Are you alive? Because we just held a moment of silence for you at this game.
Now, is this a bridge too far, Joshy? We could start a rumor that Ben Bruss died. We could try and just see, start a rumor just as retaliation. I do love this detail, though, guys. I want to get this in here. He says he was driving home and his phone started ringing a lot. But I'm driving, he says. I don't dare pick it up. I park in front of our house. I enter the yard and my wife runs out to me, welcoming me in tears. She says, the television said you had died.
Jeez. Wait, his wife didn't know?
So she was probably imagining he got into an accident. They found out, notified the soccer team. They instantly held a moment of silence, and then he just waltzes in and says, hey, what's going on, babe?
I mean, that is one way to make an entrance, you know?
Big day.
You and the little lady have a bit of a fight. Just tell everyone you died, and look at how soon she forgets that conflict. To bury you alive is very stressful, he says. The situation was not pleasant, but at the end of the day, we have to be positive. I'm still here. Good for him. I mean, that's a good attitude to have, right, Gabe?
How do they make this up to him?
Well,
like, you got to make that, like, for prematurely killing somebody off and having a moment of silence, you got to make this up to him and his wife. Give him, like, a little weekend getaway somewhere, because they got to do something. Like, to put her through that, I didn't realize that his wife also did not know. To have your wife actually believe you are dead, you put somebody through something, you got to do something for this couple now.
Maybe she was happy.
Doesn't sound like it.
She sounded quite distraught.
Running out to meet him in the yard like a Hallmark movie.
I have these thoughts about the blammer sometime because I usually text and he gets right back. You know, when we're starting Blammer Thursday, and I'm like, should I go down and check on him? It's 3:30 on a Thursday. And then he just mysteriously shows up. But the problem with that is when I don't want him to come over and he just shows up. I just have to send him home.
Hey, get out of here. Scram.
What's worse, though? Having them give you a moment of silence when you're still alive or having died and your team not give you a moment of silence?
I'm dead. I am
going to say, prematurely killing somebody off.
Is worse?
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, definitely worse.
But it would offend your family members, Joshy, wouldn't it? Let's say you dedicated a huge chunk of your life to this soccer club.
Yeah, I think to a certain aspect. I mean, there is part of me that, I mean, the Huck Finn style of seeing your own funeral and seeing how much people like enjoyed you, that'd be an interesting place to find yourself. Honored for your death while still alive and like keeping track of how people felt about it.
Yeah, but what if like six people showed up to your wake? You'd be like, really? This is it?
Yeah.
You know?
I know Ben Bruss probably wouldn't show up to mine.
Let me ask you. I was not prepared
Definitely
for that.
Not.
Did not see that
Great
one
pop.
Coming. Good job.
That was solid.
Let me ask you a question. Do you guys want a moment of silence? When you pass away, do you want a moment of silence, whether it is at, you know, the radio station where you worked, or whether if it's up at Lambeau Field, or whether, do you want a moment of silence? Do you want the people for one moment to reflect on your life and contributions?
No. What I plan on doing is leaving money in a trust for everyone to just get tanked. That's how I want to be remembered, you know? Just have a Blammer Thursday, everything's on me, here, go set it up, spend it. Don't cry. Just, hey, tell stories.
I would like...
I'm going to tell you what, pal. The don't cry part is going to be a tough one to follow for anybody at any funeral.
Yeah, that is... I would like Gabe to do a five-minute thing that airs on the air with some music underneath it, some maybe even master-style music, and just honor me for five straight minutes. Long speech.
Oh, 5 minutes. We're talking about a moment of silence. Josh DiMaggio is like, I deserve five moments.
Yeah, I just want to put Gabe in a bad spot.
I don't think there's a Grateful Dead song that is only 5 minutes, Josh.
Yeah.
Aren't they all like 17 minutes long?
Well, you can play the studio version. That'll get done in a nice 4 or 5 minutes. Yeah, you'll be good.
Let's put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Do you want a moment of silence when you pass away? Is that something that you want? Do you want the people to have to take a moment and reflect on your legacy, reflect on your contributions to the world? We'll put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Take another break here, and we will be right back after this. But guys, first I want to tell you about my friends over at Professional Construction, Inc. You guys know that my husband Dario and I are not the most handy people. We can handle these little jobs around the house, but when it comes to the big ones, the important ones, like finishing our basement, we trust the experts over at Professional Construction, Inc. Man, I got to post some pictures of the job they did on our basement. It was half finished when they stepped into it. Now it is completely finished. We've got a workout area. The girls have their arts and crafts and play area. Then we've got the television and the couch, comfortable for movie night. We've got the piano in the back corner. The girls even have their gymnastics equipment in the corner as well. It is the space we always needed and wanted, and PCI made it happen for us. And you may find yourself in a similar situation. You may be saying, man, my basement is good, but I'd love it to be great. PCI can make it happen. They've been in business for more than 20 years. Their reputation is building relationships and doing exceptional work on your projects. Call them. Check out their work. ProfessionalConstructionInc.com and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The source.
What's a click below dumb?
You. No.
That's fine. Whoa. No, that's what
good
I was getting.
Good pop. Good pop.
That's, whoa. I know.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word is.
Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Let me tell you about our good friends at the Ewald Automotive Group, because right now the March sales drive is going on. Get their lowest prices on their best selection of new cars, trucks, and SUVs. They won't be undersold. And listen to all these brands under that Ewald umbrella. Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevy, Kia, Volkswagen, Buick, and GMC. All with their low price guarantee and Ewald's exclusive 20-year, 200,000-mile warranty plus. Get the most for your trade-in now through month end at every Ewald location. And with Ewald, it's always easy. You just start at ewaldauto.com.
Apparently, the news is out there, according to the NFL Network, that the Vikings are moving on from Aaron Rodgers, which is not exactly what Adam Schefter told us this morning, guys. Adam Schefter said it's sort of on pause, that they could come back to the table, that they could reach out to Aaron Rodgers. I think the way I'm interpreting all of this information, guys, is that they are waiting to see how J.J. McCarthy does. They're waiting to see how he does this spring. They're waiting to see how he is recovering from that injury. And they're waiting to see if they need a guy like Aaron Rodgers as a bridge to J.J. McCarthy being ready to go. What do you think?
I think that makes sense, but I also think that means Rodgers is probably off the table, because I can't imagine him waiting around until June after all the mini camps and everything to make a decision, because all the other teams are going to move on.
He doesn't like going to mini camp. He doesn't go to mini camp.
Well, no, but he doesn't have to, but he's got to wait until to make that decision. And the Giants would have moved on. The Steelers would have moved on. Unless he is Vikings or bust, that is the only way he is going to still be available by the time the Vikings would want to come back to the table.
Chew.
How does his ego handle that? No, we don't want you, but I'm Aaron Rodgers. Seriously. I never wanted to go there anyways, or...
If I were to take a stab at how he feels, not thrilled.
Are we going to get another beach and blanket situation?
I think it's a smart move by Kevin O'Connell. You know, he's not rushing into it. He's like, hey, maybe we may need to break that glass. We may need to bring him in. But right now, we're going to see what our guy can do. And Rodgers, if you want to wait, can't guarantee anything, but you're welcome to wait.
Well, and it's more of a health thing with J.J. McCarthy, because they loved him during training camp last year until he had the knee injury.
Thanks for listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wildy and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.
Looking pretty good out there. The only delays really are going to be northbound 43 from North Avenue to Keefe.
and then eastbound 94 right through the stadium interchange. Everything else has eased up nicely. We don't really have any other major incidents up on the board, so everything is rolling along well. Traffic is brought to you by Fisco Auto Body. Call Fisco Auto Body to help with all body repair needs. Fisco, Fisco, Fisco. And checking the TMJ4 Storm Team forecast today. Rain and storms likely, breezy with a high of 45. Tonight, rain switches over to snow. It'll be breezy, up to 2 inches possible, a low of 29. Weather is brought to you by Higher Love Cannabis Company. No matter the